You are now listening to Out of the Blank.
Because we're going to end up talking for like 2 hours. So.
Yeah, that's probably true.
It's not easy when it, all right, hold on. Rephrase this, resettle it. Scott, welcome back to the show. It's great having you back on. And we're just going to get right into the whatever the meat and potatoes or whatever we're going to talk about. There's no more. How you doing? How's the breakfast? Did you have a good lunch? Good Saturday, huh? No, it's just going to be straight into that because I've been listening to your show and you've been pointing out a lot of things that I feel like a lot of people don't really know about. And it's like there's a bunch of stuff where it comes with COVID, pandemic, politics, all this type of stuff. And I'm not a fan of the censorship of it all, but I feel like you have some things that I'm not too keen on when it comes to especially stats, or you posted the Trump thing today. I didn't really look into that a whole bunch. I just would prefer if you would explain whatever's on your mind the past whatever month and a half we haven't talked that's been a complete shit show.
Yeah, you know, for me, I'm a small government kind of guy. I just want the government out of my business. I lean towards libertarian. I'm actually a registered libertarian in Oregon, which is kind of a minority. But at the same time, I do have, you know, some like conservative values and leanings. But I, you know, I'm not a huge fan of what, you know, Trump kind of represented. I did kind of like some of his policies, but I think that politics has gotten so nasty and everyone is pitted against each other based on their political views, and they're, excuse me. And folks are coming in kind of hot about, you know, racism and government spending and all this stuff. But really it comes down to separating people based on what party affiliation they might have. And I think it's getting pretty ugly. You know, we were talking earlier about, you know, it's kind of all just a big lie. And I kind of lean towards, I think there's a lot of lying in government on both sides, just because politicians have a tendency to lie a lot.
So my theory is that when sports was gone during the pandemic, that everyone just needed a new fucking hobby. And that happened to be the political stuff. And sadly, the political stuff is the best reality television show you will ever fucking watch. Jersey Shore pales in comparison. And I'm not talking about the spray tan. I'm just talking about how much this is like, it's all a scripted show. Where I'm like, is anybody like, this is why we all love it so much. This is just, there's no difference between this and watching cable. Like it's unexplainable to me. I'm fucking fathoming the choice or decision. When I ask someone who they voted for, they'll say something like, oh, it's none of your business. Or they'll say something like, oh, I voted for this guy because I didn't want to vote for this guy. Well, does anybody ever think about testing the simulation? If we can actually never. All right. So if I asked you, why not vote independent? What answer would you give me?
Why not vote independent? Depends on who the candidates are.
Well, why not vote independent? What would you give me as a response? They never win. Well, why the hell not? Why is it just two sides? I don't like this shit. It's like I got my peas and mashed potatoes and I'm trying to be like, can I get the fish and the chicken? Well, we only have fish, chicken, but we're out of fish and chicken. Well, can I get like peanuts? No, there's no third options. It's just fish or chicken.
Just start with dessert, you know? I think the problem is, yeah, we have it like a two-party system, and too many people are afraid to vote for the party that they really identify with because they're afraid that the other party that's probably going to win is too powerful. You know, I'm a libertarian. Well, I think I voted for one person who was in the Libertarian Party, was running for an office position. And I think it was a local position in Oregon. It's because the other two parties are so massive and people are too afraid that one party is just going to take over because they didn't vote for the other party that might potentially beat them. It's kind of a messed up way of voting, don't you think?
Was Trump a Republican?
Well, I mean, technically on paper, but I don't know that he was with his belief systems, because he used to be a Democrat and a lot of his ideas about taxing and you know, like tariffs and some other government control stuff seemed not as conservative as some people would say, but he definitely wasn't a libertarian.
Yeah, I was trying to look back through because I heard something get mentioned in a podcast where they were talking about, like, there was one time, like, where everyone, no matter what your political party was, because the Democrats never want to vote for a Republican, and the Republicans will never vote for a Democrat, even no matter if they have good policies or not or good decisions. It's all just based on sides at this point. But during 9/11, it seemed like George Bush was just an overwhelming choice because he seemed like he had the best method to everyone was so scared. They were just like, fuck it, let's do this, you know? And I don't know, because now it's like we're the opposite, where we had Obama, then now we have Biden. I mean, we had Trump, but I mean, I don't really consider him a Republican away, even though he wears red. Everyone's like, that's a Republican. I'm like, I don't know. I think it's just you guys like colors at this point. It's like we're fucking children with shiny keys. But we're in a position where I'm like, out of all the presidents we've had, we've never had like an independent. It's so hard to talk about this type of situations because honestly, I don't like the whole. I just wish we had a president that would just be honest as shit and just be like, I don't fucking know. You know, like I would like to hear I don't know rather than picker pattering around the answers. You know, when I hear Psaki say that no, Fauci's not going to, you know, be in trouble for lying in front of Congress, and I'm like, then what the fuck are we going by? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree. I don't think there's any honesty in politics, to be honest with you. I just think, you know, folks voted for Trump originally thinking that he wasn't a politician and that he would be a little bit more honest. But, you know, I kind of think that the office needs to be respectable. You know, I think the tweeting thing and constantly poking at different people to me, I don't like that kind of behavior. I really look at policy as the important thing. I mean, we're hiring them, you know, sort of hiring them for a job to do that is, I think, pretty dang important. And we're allowing the parties to kind of dictate the policy. And I don't think it's really representing the people who voted them in. And besides, I mean, how many voters are really informed voters? I don't know that there's not a lot of them, you know.
I'm more upset of the factor of how it's got everyone so divisive to a point that there's no, like, you're like, for instance, like about the wage, like no matter if you're making, like, I should be able to ask you how much you make and you should be able to ask me how much I make. And we shouldn't have an issue with discussing those things. But people are like, I prefer to keep those private. Well, why aren't you keeping those private? Well, if you look deeper into that whole entire privacy thing, it gives your employer more power to not be able to pay you more or pay you less, depending on how much work you actually do. You might make less than someone, but you do way more work than them. Well, then you should be compensated on your work efforts, not on the factor of they've just been there longer. You should be compensated for the amount of work that you do. Doesn't mean that your number or your wage should go down. It just means that a person should be making equal to you at least, or something of that sort. But these are supposed to be healthy discussions supposed to have. That means if you disagree with me, you're supposed to bring that up and you're supposed to say, well, Rob, I actually think this. That's how you fucking get a different perspective. And there's none of that anymore. Everything is like, you're not vaxxed, you're vaxxed. All right. And then they don't talk to each other anymore. I'm like, well, where's like the healthy discussion that we're supposed to be having as human beings, where I'm like, the real issues are in the fact of what the government is doing. And I'm not, the government's good. I just think that the people in it are necessarily, I don't know if it's their fault. I don't know what it is. I feel like we're in a system and the system has been running the same way for so long. Cause when you see videos of, like, you know, them saying, hey, we're going to let every immigrant in, we're going to have this whole entire thing happen. And then you see them, don't come here, don't come, go back home. And you're like, hold on a fucking second. Like, you look like someone just told you something. And then now you're like, oh shit, I can't do this at all. I have to go back on everything that I ever said. And I think that's where we start hinting at the Illuminati type thing. But I don't see shrouded men in cloaks. I see big business people like Epstein style that just have a lot of power and have this suave or this type of maneuverability that don't really want attention, but they like being able to do shit because they can, because they know the connections. They have those routes in where you don't even need to know their name or their face.
I think you're right, though, in there's power and influence in so many things. And you know, when it comes to like business stuff, I think there's a lot of, you know, ebbs and flows in there. I think, you know, for just like a personal opinion is, you know, employees really, they want to make as much money for doing the least amount of work. And most businesses want employees to do the most amount of work for the least amount of money. And so there's this balance at some point. And when government comes in and starts mandating things, it changes that balance. I think there's a lot of things in politics that take people from sort of like that class warfare. And, you know, there's race warfare, there's class warfare, there's a lot of other things that are politicized, and that impacts these things as well. I think, you know, in terms of, you know, the idea that maybe there could be men in cloaks and making these decisions in the background, I don't know. I'm not a huge conspiracy theorist, although I think that money, power, influence, these are massive things, and we see the results of them just about everywhere. And, you know, I think those two big political parties are perpetrating a lot of it. And even if you think about like the Democrat Party, where right now they're talking about, you know, this huge, I can't remember, is it $3 trillion, you know, spending package, but it's not supposed to cost anything because it's they said it was like a net zero.
When is anything ever free? I don't know.
And the thing is yeah, it's just not true. It's just, you can't spend that kind of money and think that it's not going to cost you anything, because who's paying for it? Well, the citizens are paying for it. The government's just kind of taking it and doing what they want with it, expecting some sort of money-making return to pay for it. But it's so complex that I certainly don't trust them. These are politicians. These are not, you know, business people who can manage money well. I mean, if they were, we wouldn't be 20 some odd trillion dollars in debt right now. But power and influence is a massive thing in politics, and we're seeing kind of the results of it. In fact, you know, we've one of the things about the podcast that my co-host and I, Dave, have been kind of talking about is doing some episodes on like cults. And I really think that a lot of the things that are happening right now are using the behaviors that cults use to influence their people.
Dude,
and I think politics is that way.
I talked about this, man. Is that so? I have Scientology gunning for me just because they check all my shit, but they never, ever follow me. They just watch all my stories, and they just keep, because I've talked to people who have closely been on Leah Remini's podcast and things of that sort, who are vocal anti-Scientology people. And I've mentioned them so many, I've talked about Scientology so much. I mean, but so they're after me and the CCP's after me. But with Scientology, I talked about this with someone who like writes a blog about them, is very vocal about them. And I was saying that everything that they're doing is the same maneuvers and techniques that you can find in the government, you know, trying to find a defamation of character. There's still a story that they're dragging through the mud, and the story keeps growing and growing and growing and turning into this thing when the real scenario is nothing like they've depicted. But they refuse to believe that. Now you're just ruining somebody's character. Whoever gets that first impression of that person is not going to want to find the truth, because now that's their truth. And that's what the government does with misinformation and sowing seeds of doubt in people's minds. I mean, I think you retweeted the Florida stat, the amount of people that with COVID cases in Florida that have gone down, but nobody's talking about that. I don't see that on the news. It's because they showed you how it was all ramping up. And then now, what's the flu do? You get over the flu, right? You get over COVID. Whatever, the last, what, 2 weeks? They're not going to report on the number of cases that went down. It was like when Israel had COVID cases that were like skyrocketing, and they were like, well, the third booster's bringing it down. I was like, no, because 2 weeks ago you were saying they were skyrocketing. Everyone's probably got COVID, so now the numbers have to go down daily, right? It's like that one lady who was like, crime, you know, Biden has dropped the crime rate so comparably compared to like 1980. And they showed a graph of today's crime, which is still at a really high. And then they showed a 1980 crime. It's like, you're comparing it to fucking Gangs of New York with like Bill the Butcher and fucking murderers and mafia that's shooting everybody every day. Like, what are you talking about? Of course the numbers are lower than that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think that they're being honest about representing those numbers. That's the problem. You know, you were talking about Scientology, and it's funny because we just this last weekend recorded a 2-part episode on Scientology, because I'm terribly fascinated by it. I love the idea of learning how people think and how they get influenced by things. And Scientology has done an amazing thing in a modern world where we've got technology to verify the existence of different things, and Scientology has done an amazing job of masking a lot of this stuff while still influencing their followers, while still recruiting, while still making tons of money. the government has tons of resources to do far more than what Scientology does. But Scientology has a reputation of sending people out and harassing and following and intimidating people. Government actually has authority through like the IRS to do those very things. I mean, even just like right now, Biden was talking about having the banks basically record the transactions and send them to the IRS if they're $600 or more. I think normally it's like a $10,000, you know, deposit would get reported. Now they're talking about implementing systems so that as low as $600 transactions in your account would be on the radar of the IRS. That's crazy. I mean, even if you're thinking, oh, well, I don't do anything illegal, it's fine. Oh my gosh, isn't that the slippery slope?
Well, when do you draw the line and where does the line get drawn? You know, that's the thing is like I feel like a lot of people have issues with certain areas, but they're more than happy to fight with another person rather than take it all the way to where it's supposed to be taken. I'm not talking about a Capitol Hill style riot. I'm talking about a proper way of just saying no. We're seeing this with like the vaccine thing. How many people were praising all these people that worked for us over all this long time during COVID that just all got laid off, saying that the National Guard was going to replace all these people that refused to get it and fire these people? It's like now they're secondhand, whatever. They're now villains, technically. And it's like you start to look at it like, do we start understanding and we start talking about certain things? And why do you have to censor so many different things? That's the main thing. It's like you're considering stuff misinformation when it's been known as fact that it's not. And here's where my big fear kind of leads into the bigger chestnut is like the fear of just AI. This algorithm, this thing that's just constantly growing and we're constantly relying on more. Now, I was hearing so much about AI taking over one day. Then I saw an article where someone said, this is actually very scary that AI is able to do this. I think it started with being able to replicate dead people's music. They took Amy Winehouse songs and had this thing scan all her works or whatever. Now, Amy Winehouse is dead. But they took her song and made a whole new song off a computer-generated algorithm that just listened to all of her songs. And it sounds really fucking good. Now, how long when they had that Tupac hologram? How long until we're just seeing actors in movies who are long dead where it's like, oh, we don't just own the rights to your likeness. We own all of that, which means when you're dead, we're going to still be producing films with your character just because we like who you are. AI technology is getting to the point where my Walmart has opened online shopping. Now, eventually it's going to be to a point where you drive up to a store and you see the thing in the window. You go, can I have that? Well, we don't have that on stock. Well, can I get the window? No. You're not even supposed to be out of your house. There's going to be no incentive to want to go explore the world when everything gets cut off from actually being able to make basic functions. And what's easier to do as a government if everyone's inside of their home? You're able to do whatever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm. Well, think about the AI combined with the deepfake technology. You know, you could have an artificial you out there doing the things that you would have probably likely do.
Comes hunting for me.
But then you get blamed for doing something that you didn't actually do because the deepfake technology is so good. They can manipulate who you might represent on, you know, a podcast or some YouTube video or a Facebook video or something, and suddenly you're in trouble for something you didn't do. There's so much power out there and influence that if they're collecting all this additional data, plus all of the artificial intelligence and deepfake, it just seems to me like we're kind of in trouble as a people unless we embrace the idea that we should sit down and chat once in a while, to have dialogue, to have discussions versus, you know, attacking or berating each other and you know, being so, you know, divisive with the entire population. You know, you think about the political parties, you think about, you know, the race stuff that's going on right now and how people are so sensitive about, you know, one little thing. Well, all this technology that you're talking about, I think, is going to further divide unless somehow we circle back and we go back to what we, you know, used to do, which is exchange thoughts and ideas with people in kind of a civil manner. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, there's a realm of thought that the government could never do anything like this without people knowing about it. I'm like, they've been doing it for so long without people knowing about it. I mean, it slowly comes out and gets leaked out there to us. And we start to look at this thing of like, didn't they say that they weren't going to mandate the vaccine? Didn't that start to roll out where now it's starting to happen now? They went back on that pretty fucking quick. How long? I mean, coming from a business aspect, what's more profitable? If I own a business with employees who don't want to work because they made more money off unemployment and rather stay home than go to their actual job, then I might as well just make fucking robots to make my product go out there. People look at Bezos like he's some time of henchman of the apocalypse because of the things he did. I was like, no, he just doesn't give a fuck about people. He only cares about making money. And sadly, if you don't know these people, you're not going to give a fuck about them. This is what communication is supposed to be about. You're supposed to talk with people. You're supposed to have an exchange of ideas. Now, these aren't conspiracies. These are just thoughts. That's what people need to take away. They hear somebody say something and they go, that's not true because it doesn't fit their ideals. Well, these are all everything. Media's opinions. They literally get off legal lawsuits by claiming as entertainment. That's all they fucking are. They're a way to keep, and I'm seeing it on Fox, CNN, every single morning when I'm at my work. I'm just looking up at the screens and I'm like, they're literally saying the exact same shit in different ways. And I'm like, I'm not understanding. Every time they change, the other person changes. CNN goes on about the missing influencer. Fox is talking about the missing influencer. Next thing, CNN talks about the flooding or the tornado that's happening. Fox switches over to talking about the tornado and the thing happening. It's the same shit. I mean, I started looking through Rob Lowe as a series. It's all about like movies, like every bit takes, every single thing that every movie has done and stereotypicalized, like the spit take. They talk about where that got started. That scream that you hear about the stormtrooper when he gets shot and he goes, ah! Yes, you know what I'm talking about?
I love that one.
That came from an old movie scene where a guy got bit in the leg by an alligator and started screaming. And they've every single movie has just clipped it and used that. And you start to look at like he was pointing out like Anchorman. When Ron Burgundy in the story talks about he just started voiceovering a cop chase or something like that and just including a bunch of fake details that weren't real. Our news does that all the time. They start talking about things. And now the point I think has gotten to where it's like I have an episode called Collateral Clickbait, which is just clickbait sells money and makes views and gets clicks. Sadly, the collateral is that everyone that sees that headline and doesn't see the retraction. And then now you're ruining all these generations, making it seem like it's getting to this point where the world is going to end. Brett Weinstein, for instance, an evolutionary biologist, talked about how he was sparking up this giant thing to get academics to push back against their school to knock down these racist or these types of barriers that are going on because he left a party and all these kids at this fraternity ended up doing these things to these prostitutes that were not good things. They were very, very horrible acts to put someone into. And because of the ethnicity of these prostitutes or whatever, it became this giant thing where Brett Weinstein didn't know what happened and he wanted to make sure that this never happened again. So it eventually got turned into it was white privilege by a bunch of fraternity people to where eventually the people that he was protesting to lead into this academia turned on him to the point where the school was talking about making a day where there was no white students. You ban all white students for one day a week. Does that sound anything like the type of peace, humility, any type of thing that our world should be aspiring for? Or does that sound like it's actually more damaging because, okay, now it's racism against this certain ethnicity? I don't like any of that. I don't want any racism, but I don't want it to get to a point where the equality that we're trying to reach is by just chopping off the legs of another person's. You start to see that. It's like, it's not about cutting somebody down. It's about raising everybody up. Let's get to a point where we can do that.
Yeah. It's so funny how not funny, ha ha funny, but interesting how people just forget how we got to where we got, you know, think about, you know, the famous speeches from, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. and, you know, talking about his daughters, you know, being looked at, you know, through the content of their character, not the color of their skin. And you look at the world that we live in right now and everything is about color of your skin. And to the point where even the idea that, you know, they're ignoring culture and looking at the color of someone's skin. I live in an environment where we have a lot of like Russian, Ukrainian, and other white people who have very, very different backgrounds, very, very different cultural beliefs and, you know, characteristics, habits, you know, the way that they live their life is pretty different than like the old school Oregonian out here. But they're all white, so they get kind of lumped into a group. And to me, that's like going back in time. And I thought we already went through that experiment. Didn't we already determine that that was a bad thing? Doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, it's a bad thing. It's just people keep forgetting that we already went through this stuff. It just is like a role reversal in some cases. But I still think that folks are using that cult sort of behavior, the tactics that cults use to influence their followers. I think that's what's happening right now with all this racism talk. I was watching, I was doing edits for one of the last episodes we did on education. And one of the things that's really, really heavy into education right now is critical race theory. And the tactics that they use, boy, it just reminded me just like these other cults that we've talked about, how, you know, people start making decisions based on what the leaders are preaching as truth. I was watching have you heard of LuLaRoe? The clothing company? So LuLaRoe it's generally speaking, you know, for women. It's a multi-level marketing company. They have a special on Amazon Prime, and it's very cultish. It's a company selling a legitimate product, but how they run their company and influence the people who then resell their product, it's very cultish. It's the same stuff that I'm seeing in the push for critical race theory. It's the same stuff I'm seeing in politics. It's very, very interesting to me to see these behaviors and how people are just sort of ignoring all logic and following what the leaders are pushing. And I think it has to change. I don't know how it changes. You'd think with all the technology that we have and the availability to have conversation with people that people would kind of see this stuff for really what it is. But I think it's actually kind of getting worse. Don't you think?
It's very hard to make someone back down from the reality that they're living in. I have friends who are ex-cult people I've had on the show multiple times. And I think the main thing that you can kind of take away is that, like, especially if you're born into it, that's all you know. So it's like if me and you, you know, your age before the cell phone came out or before technology got to advance as it was, you didn't know that that could be a possibility. You know, I didn't think that we would ever be able to go to Mars or be able to do some types of casual space missions up into. Don't shame the cup. Jesus, show that cup. That's not too.
Well, it's my never too serious cup.
Yes. Look at that one. Glorious logo. It's like a chalice. It reminds me of what is it? The medieval times, the thing where they battle and they do the get me a meat stick.
That's right.
But I think with like from being born into it, that's all you know. So there's not really like it'd be someone showed you a cell phone. If I go to the Amish people with a cell phone, I'm a fucking god. I would have all they would be, who are you? Are you Jesus? I'm like, yes, I am. I can Google it. Here's a picture of me. Well, that guy has a beard. I just shaved it down. It's like, yours looks premature. I'm like, it is very, but at the same time, I'm a younger form. But you can trick based on what your reality is, and your reality is only what you want it to be. So if you want to explore past that, a lot of people don't know they can explore past that. We thought the earth ended at a certain point, and then we realized, oh, it doesn't do that. Some people still believe that. That's their reality. But talking to my buddy who left it, he goes, it's just so hard to associate because I spent so much time in there where it's like all I knew was that. And you realize that there's something bigger. Now, Ron Miscavige is probably – his son is the one who's the leader of Scientology, the Church of Scientology. Now, he can't talk to his son or anything. That he has grandkids he's never even seen or talked to. They just refuse to talk to him. It's also an aspect of like if me and you decided to join Scientology – we know all this stuff. We would never talk about it, but it's an aspect. We get to hang out with Tom fucking Cruise. That would be an option for us. That's why a lot of people end up joining it. It's like, imagine you're an 18-year-old kid. You don't want to pay bills, but you rather maintenance a place. So Scientology, how they get off on paying people like $50 a week or so is because they make you do maintenance and shit like that. And they don't have to pay you a whole lot of money because they give you free room and board. Now your house or your room or whatever might be shit compared to where you could be living if you were doing a better job. Or it's kind of like if we were billionaires, we'd be living in a way better home. And you start to see the tactics that they use, which is just from blocking you from finding the truth and then denying when you do defect. So a couple of people who've defected from there that I've talked to talk about, like, well, they have to, like, the church tells everyone else that, oh, that person had to isolate themselves because they've been contaminated with something. They're going against it. So we had to cut them off. So it's seen as like, oh, they didn't leave us. We left them. And then it becomes this whole entire mind tactics, which you start to see in the government, where I think the people should be together on everything. I think we should all be standing side by side and going against and making sure our government doesn't become this thing. I mean, I think it was Reagan who said that a temporary government is a permanent one. You know, you start to realize these types of things where it's just easily throwing a grenade amongst us and watching us fight to try and find the pin. And then that's what they do. It distracts us from the major point. I mean, the best example is PETA. In 2013, government was doing some crazy shit in like Iraq or whatever. PETA goes, I want the animals on the crackers. I want them out from behind bars. Yes. And they removed it. And the government's like, sure, just don't look into our fucking government shit. Like, we're doing some pretty hectic stuff over there. It's that simple, like shiny keys. We stop at the door and don't go all the way through. We still don't have people questioning the fact that there was four cops that killed themselves at the Capitol Hill thing. We still don't have people questioning the fact that during the Black Lives Matter protest, there was just a person going with hammers and hitting every single fucking thing with an umbrella, just stirring up shit. Is that age of provocateurs? Why did the government say that during these Black Lives Matter protests were okay and they weren't going to spread coronavirus when we can't even be 6 feet next to someone beside us? That doesn't make any sense to me, but it's exceptional then. So now they're able to manipulate the rules based on they don't want to piss certain people off or certain giant vocal groups that actually could affect the giant thing and probably get them potentially taken out of office. I thought this was bigger than that. I thought this was a world pandemic, not something that we can just choose what we want to pick up and what we want to put down. You start to see the manipulational tactics that fuck up everybody's head. And that's what I don't fucking like. And that's what cults do. They manipulate you. They make you feel like you can't survive without us, or they make it feel like you're at such a critical state in your mental well-being, like much of the world is right now, where that you need something to believe in, and this is that thing. And that means I can do whatever I want to you in fear that you might lose this thing.
Yeah, I think cults often give people that need purpose, and they get sucked into it. They get to a point where they get so sucked into it that there's no other reality but the one that they're in. And yeah, it's unfortunate that we kind of accept this sort of behavior from a lot of different people. I mean, in the government, there's supposed to be rules. There's supposed to be, laws. People break the law. There are these clear consequences of what happens. And we've kind of got to a point where we kind of let stuff go. I mean, not we, but the government, the authorities have kind of let stuff happen. You think about all the riots and all the stuff that was allowed to happen in even like Seattle when Chaz and Chop were kind of being formed. And we just kind of let people, behave poorly. And I don't think that's good for society in general. But I think we can blame that on certain leaders. And I think we're running into a problem right now with a lot of different leaders. The idea of COVID, again, I think this is, it's heavily politicized, but to your point, I also think that there's cultish behavior within that. It's pitting people against each other. Some people are just so, locked into what they think is true that they won't accept anything else. Well, that becomes a problem when the science changes and people realize that something may be different and there's great evidence to show that it's different. People get locked into that idea, and and then there are the other people who just want to protest, who they don't trust anything coming from the government or from the CDC or any of these authoritarian figures, and they just want to move away from it. They're not going to accept any rules that come from it. They're just not going to accept that any of that is actually true.
I'm not for, like, a lot of people think, like, you must be an anarchist, even though, like, libertarians get lumped in as anarchy because you're like, it's like a teardown of government. I'm like, no, I just think I'm in the belief at this point where I just think the government should do the thing that it should just be protecting us from outside attackers or foreign attackers or some type of military threats. But when it comes to all these basic decisions, I think there needs to be a rational discourse amongst people. There shouldn't be people. Why? When did we allow the fact that when the government shut down for the very first time so long ago or whatever, however long ago, we were like, oh, my God, let's hope this never happens again. Now they do it fucking yearly where I'm like, what are you shutting fucking down for 70 or 30 something days for? It doesn't make any goddamn sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I heard just recently that Gavin Newsom in California is looking at mandating vaccines for children going to school. So now,
well, pregnant people can take it now. So
is that right? And you know, mandating is one thing. I think we live in a country where we're supposed to be able to make decisions for ourselves and our own health. And I know for like me as a parent, I want to make decisions for my family. And generally, if it's really outside of what would be considered safe or normal, then you know, government steps in and does something about it. But I think they've changed the lines of what's considered safe and normal with all these different mandates. And mandating something that just appears to be, according to the stats, not terribly dangerous for kids. And now you're going to mandate the kids all get them. In the state of Oregon, we've had some stats come out talking about, you know, the infection rates among schools and
remember,
how
you got to tread lightly on this because
yes, I don't want to get you censored on YouTube, but they've talked about there's several, I think they said that the number is like 79 schools now that have outbreaks with COVID-19. And what they're not saying is that they're not saying, well, what's the hospitalization rate? What's the death rate among these different outbreaks? And that goes for adults and children. So it's really kind of like this headline that gets you kind of emotionally excited and you know, maybe even fearful that these things are happening, but they're not really talking about the true dangers of it. They're just talking about the spread. And of course, everyone's been talking about let's get the kids back into school, but if you're going to get them back into school and then you're going to scare everyone that it's a dangerous place and now you're going to have to get them vaccinated in order for them to be in school, you know, let alone all staffing has to be vaccinated, all first responders, you know, with the new federal OSHA mandate with over 100 employees, those folks have to get mandated vaccination. And I'm a pro vaccination kind of guy typically, but I just think it should be a personal choice on whether you do it. But right now in education, and in business and in first responders and hospitals, we're already running up against these shortages and folks are now getting forced to make a decision of whether they want to lose their job or go and get vaccinated. And some people are just going to protest it just because they don't want the government telling them what they should or should not do. But we're in a spot right now that it's kind of like this really weird, yes, we want everyone to be safe. We want everyone to go back to life as usual. We want people to, you know, have a job. We want to have enough first responders and hospital beds and all these things. But then the government's making these decisions that the citizens are saying, I don't want to do that, which directly impacts the number of available hospital beds and the number of first responders and the number of kids in school. It's crazy how these decisions from the government is really playing havoc in our communities. It's kind of hard to believe that we're actually here in 2021 with this kind of government overreach, in my opinion.
We're definitely not going to reach like a harmony of like beings like we see on all the sci-fi shows where everyone's floating and all that type of shit. We can all think with our minds. It's not going to fucking happen ever, at least on this timeline that I'm seeing. But what I get a gut feeling or this type of like empty hole in my stomach is the fact that there's a large amount of people out there where I'm driving and I see someone wearing a mask in their car.
By themselves?
Yeah, but just out of fear, where like they're so afraid, where it's like they get out of their car, I see them wipe their car handles down and like, you know, they're slowly going through like with gloves and they're doing all this type of stuff. And I get it, but I look at it like, man, imagine like we don't know when this is going to officially be over with. So if this goes on for 10, 15 years, how much time are you spending actually living your life rather than just hoping to God that you don't get it by making sure you're doing every precaution down? I mean, at the beginning, people were wiping down surfaces. Now they've been proven that doesn't do shit and there's no way it's going to stick to a surface. So we're at this point now where I'm seeing all this, like, because I know there's some fucking bastards out there that really love the fear factor and they're fucking getting like orgasmic over it. Like, oh my God, I love it. Living in a constant state of fear. I'm like, I've been thinking about this recently. Imagine if the population just had some type of global thing happen where it got wiped down to a couple thousand people. I know that sounds horrible. And if I'm one of those people that get wiped out, then fuck it. I don't care. But I look at it like, I think not only on the overpopulation factor, but there's just a large amount of like, not like people just worried all the time and fearful. And I'm like, the only way that could ever happen is if bills lessen up, something changes, and bills are never going to lessen up. They're always going to want to find something they can get money from you. I mean, half of the world right now, or not half the world, but half the US is suffering from these overpayment balances on unemployment because the unemployment system was so fucked. I'm one of those people where they're saying you owe money. I've seen people say, it says I owe $8,000. That's half of the fucking money they gave me. And I'm like, man, I'm lucky I'm not in that boat. Luckily, I'm only like at $2,000 or something like that. But it was because the system was so messed up that they were so behind that there was probably a bunch of people, which people tend to slack a little bit and just say yes to everything, like Bruce Almighty typing in the answer all prayers to the thing. That's probably what happened. And now sadly people got to suffer for it. And a lot of people are getting these things overturned. And it's like, do you just want some of it back? Cause you gave a lot out that I don't even think you were willing to give out in the first place. I feel like you just had to scrap face and now you're seeing all of it kind of recover. It's been a year since I've been on that website and they're fucking coming to me now. And I'm like, what's going on now where I start to look at this type of thing? And I'm like, do you just want people to be fucking miserable? Do you think because they're miserable, they'll work more, then they'll be too tired to raise questions? The whole point is to raise questions. I tell everybody out there, if I'm wrong, then talk to me and let me see your reality. I'll let you see mine. You understand other people's realities and you come to a point that there's a bigger thing at play. And that bigger thing is at play is that we're all fucking little puppets and there's at any point in my life, people are worried about this. I study overseas stuff like CCP, all that government shit. If I like that you're into the cult stuff, we can definitely talk about that. But what I start looking at is the common example of like the CCP, the Korea. People don't talk about, you know, the Korean Yomi Park. She talked about how like people know it's bad in Korea, but they don't question it because they know what their government is capable of. We don't know what our government's capable of. And sadly, everyone's underestimating what our government's capable of. If one day I show up with two shots to the back of the fucking head, like William Colby, an ex-CIA guy. There's a story about William Colby. They found him dead in his kayak in that midnight. They found his body and shit. And his wife had just talked to him a couple hours before he was eating dinner. So they go into his house. Went into his house. He was ex-member of CIA. The reason he lost his job or got kind of decommissioned was because he exposed all the nuclear threats, all the planned projects, all the planned bombings that they were going to do, all these stuff that exposed pedophilia in the CIA. So much shit where everyone didn't know about this in like 2012 or 2013 when he released all this stuff, and he actually changed the CIA in a good way. He ruled a lot of this shit out, got a lot of people fired. He's a senior officer. They found him dead in a kayak at like late at night, where he left his dinner at midnight or whatever the fuck he was eating at and just decided, I'm going to go kayaking. A 74-year-old fucking man. Doors unlocked. You're telling me you're in the CIA for 30 something years and you leave your fucking doors unlocked? Like, I've talked about this story in depth before, so I'm not going to even try pulling it up now. But anybody can look it up there. William Colby, assassination or whatever. There's a lot of these accounts where it's like, at any point, if somebody sees something or whatever, I could easily hear a knock on my door and someone could just take me out of my home. That's the one thing I learned out of this whole entire pandemic, besides that life is fragile, is that you don't have as much control as you think you do into your own life. You have a lot, But don't tell me that there isn't, like, why is Snowden? Why is he still extradited from our, oh, because he did something illegal? He exposed the government corruption about how they're spying on you and doing all this shit. Well, I'm pretty sure I'm happy I know about it now, but a lot of people don't care. When that thing came onto your phone saying, do you accept that they're going to be tracking you? People are like, what? They can track me? And the Social Dilemma came out. Remember that little chestnut?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone was so fucking pinching their nipples and so happy. Oh, my God, I know the secrets. Then everyone stopped giving a fuck.
Yeah.
And now they do it with, you don't give a shit. You don't think about it because now you're used to it and you don't care. Mm-hmm. People care for the first week or two and they stop giving a fuck.
Yeah. Isn't that... It's so true because everyone's got this short attention span. It's like it's the news cycle, right? It's like you go through and you get all hyped up about something, and then the next week, you know, that thing's gone and something else has taken its place, and we don't really have a, you know, we forget stuff. We don't really go back and make sure that we solve problems that we thought were problems originally. We just move on and we kind of do a partial, get all emotional about it. And then it just moves on to some other emotional thing. I think that's one of the big problems though, is that we're looking at the world way too emotionally. And there's so many things that are triggering us emotionally, trying to get, you know, some sort of reaction. Again, it's typically an emotional reaction. Most policy changes, most things that people do to really solve a problem takes time, takes collaboration, level of reasoning and logic.
What's the worst thing you can do where people would overreact or not even think about it all because of this thing that happened? What's the worst thing that you could possibly be done?
I don't know.
You have one.
I have one.
You have one.
Oh, what are you talking about?
Kids.
Yeah.
What is every government politician? Yeah. Is there just a mass amount of pedophilia that goes in our government? Well, even listening back, like all these people like Bohemian Grove and then all this like QAnon shit that started. The major thing is to get someone to overreact is by having you do something to kids. So if you ever go back on anything that you say or you do something they don't like, they can smear you. I've noticed the smearing recently, and it's a lot of fucking smearing. You're telling me that Howard Stern, after CNN and MSNBC took a video of Joe Rogan talking about what he took to get over this thing and telling him that he had to cancel shows, they put a filter on his face to make his face yellow. Then out of nowhere, fucking Howard Stern teams up with CNN and bashes Joe Rogan. They're trying to destroy a character, but I don't know why people are like looking at it like finally, or why people are looking at it like good, cancel that misinformation person. Do you not? I don't even like fucking Tucker Carlson, but he said something about NSA spying on him. Then you see a video not even a week later of him getting lit up all over the news. You start to see is that there's a bigger thing at play, and that bigger thing is that they don't like what you say. If you go against the system, I guarantee you, if Newsom, whoever the fuck is in the news right now, that is a main amazing person, if they say something that they don't like, they're going to fucking flip it around on her and say, this person needs to be whatever, taken down and shoved in a locked box and throw away the fucking key. That's how it fucking works. And I'm just like, can you not question that? Like, can we all not get on the same side to not even say that somebody's wrong? I might be wrong. Who's to say? I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm wrong. How about that? I'm fucking wrong. But can you not just look and be like, what's the question though? Why does the government make you fail? So for the government to get promoted, you fail. The more you fail, you take the blame for something. You actually go up in the rankings, basically. So if you take the blame for something, that means when it does get exposed or someone does find out, they can just point the blame at you. That's why you see all these people that are like, I did it. Like, what's his name? Cuomo, that fucking guy. He was like, oh, it's because I'm Italian. They knew he said some shit before that where someone, I bet, started pulling out all this shit. How do you explain during this Me Too movement that died down? It's just gone away now. Tara Reid came out about Biden saying, hey, guess what? He Me Too'd me and he did all these sexual things. You know who was supporting Tara Reid?
Mm-mm.
Good old Kamala Harris.
Oh, that's right.
But guess what she did? She put her differences aside. She became our vice president. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the fuck are we talking about here?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because she wanted to be the vice president. She wanted that position of power. That's the problem. Is I think power is that thing that everyone's looking. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people and, you know, a lot of humans are looking for that increase in power. And a lot of things get influenced, you know, along the way. You were talking about, you know, kids, using kids as sort of the way that people get manipulated. And it's very true. I, you know, I'm heavily in education for quite a few years now, and it's always for the children. No matter if it's not for the children are used as the reason to implement something. And it's just not true. They're lying. And there's so many times that they just change, like, that short attention span where they change what they're doing to distract you from the failures of whatever the policy that they had implemented recently. And they moved to the next thing and the next thing. And it ends up that emotional response. And because people are more reactionary with emotion, like right away, as long as that emotional trigger is present, people are going to be forgetting about the thing that they seem to care about in the past. There's a lot of stuff I think about in like politics and all the stuff that came out about even like, you know, the Russia stuff with Trump and the Ukraine stuff, you know, the reasons that he got impeached. People were so pissed about that and wanted all of these investigations and all this stuff. And where did that go? Are they still investigating whether certain things are true or not? I'm not sure. Think about all the Black Lives Matter stuff. Everything is triggered, you know, this emotional triggering, and then we forget about it and we just move on to the next thing. I don't see how we really get anything done if that's the way that we're going to operate. And
wait,
unfortunately,
wasn't Martin, didn't we talk about Martin Luther King being assassinated?
No, I don't think so.
I thought we talked about the government killed Martin Luther King.
You know what? Maybe we did.
That's true, right? The government killed Martin Luther King.
I don't know.
They said that he was apparently like speaking out, but okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to look this up because that's a very sensitive thing. But what I read was, I didn't know that Martin Luther King slept around. There's like been known accounts of his wife talking about that he was very promiscuous with other women.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, I think dudes in general, especially ones that are in leadership positions or influential positions, I think oftentimes have that type of stuff going on. Now, there is an exception, though, I think.
Hold on, I got to read this. This is important.
Oh, go ahead.
One of the easiest things to forget about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is that he was just a person, one of the most influential people of the 20th century, no doubt, but a person with unique flaws and quirks that made him different from the Christ-like figure he's often portrayed as today. So at the time of King's assassination on April 4th, 1968, he was still the personification of the civil rights movement in the United States, but those near him said he appeared to have lost a step, in part because of conflicts in his inner circle of advisors and a growing estrangement from his formerly ally President Lyndon B. Johnson over the Vietnam War. 5 years after his famous I Have a Dream speech, though, and 40 years before the first African-American became president, King stepped onto the balcony outside his room at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. King was on the balcony sneaking a cigarette when racist assassin, I love it how they say racist assassin, James Earl Ray aimed his rifle sight at King. He almost certainly saw the civil rights leader doing something King's children never saw him doing, smoking. King was a lifelong smoker, although very few, if any, pictures exist as proof because he never smoked in public. King didn't want his family to know about that habit. After King was shot, his advisors stopped the bleeding while one of them, Dr. Billy Kiles, removed a pack of cigarettes from King's pocket. So where's the whole thing about...
There's the promiscuous. Well, think about JFK and how promiscuous he was.
Oh, King was a serial adulterer. While the ethical reasons of the FBI's monitoring of King were murky at best, the recordings do make up much of what we know about the man's personal life. King is engaged in so many extramarital affairs that his wife, Coretta Scott King, had reportedly become disillusioned with their marriage. FBI monitoring devices record audio from King during a tryst at a Washington, D.C. hotel, eventually sending the tape to a Miss King in an effort to discredit him in his own home. King even spent the last night of his life with a woman who was not his wife in the chaos outside the Lorraine Motel. His advisors told the young woman to stay out of the ambulance to avoid tarnishing his legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not a bad guy. He's a human, but that's
he's a human. Yeah.
I look at that as that's a important thing to put to these people we put up as gods. Cause then if that information comes out to the public, everyone's, you see how his all his advisors pulling the cigarette out of his pocket, telling the girl he can't sit in the ambulance, looks bad for looks. When you hide these things, you're now I know it's saving the legacy, but now it's like Christopher Columbus, where everyone starts hating him. George Washington, his teeth weren't made of cherry wood. They were made of slave teeth. If you're honest about this shit, then you don't see the freak out later. Can I get one politician who's fucking honest? There was that one senator who was running and he goes, when I was 14 or when I was 17 years old, I slept with a 14-year-old girl, which at the time period, the dude's like in his 60s or 70s. That was probably like an everyday thing, or that was probably like a normal fucking thing back then to have like a, I mean, we have people that are in their 20s dating people who are in their fucking 40s. So it's like, I don't know where people go, well, they're not above 18. But in this aspect of things, the dude was honest about his shit. They're going to find that dirt on you when you're running the election. And then when you get into office, you're telling me we can never know that information. Why did Biden lesser the sentence on cocaine and raise the sentence on crack? Find out 2 years later.
There's Hunter again.
Yeah. There. 2 years later, Hunter's fucking snorting cocaine up his nose.
Yeah. That's funny. Well, you know, in Scientology, there are auditing sessions. You know, they dig up all kinds of information, and that's part of the reason that, you know, these folks are afraid to leave at different times, you know, especially the public figures, because there's so much dirt on these people. I think, you know, government of course uses that kind of stuff, but you know, humans do stuff that's I don't know, not good, and you're gonna get called out on it if you move up through the ranks and someone else doesn't want you to be moving up through the ranks. It doesn't surprise me that, you know, MLK would have had some extramarital affairs, and, you know, it wasn't an unusual thing back in those times. And it's still not an unusual thing.
That's giving weaponry to other people who are like, fuck that, because they did this. It's like, no, that actually, if you know about this stuff, if you educate about this stuff, the Martin cartoon never told me any of that shit. I'm telling you, it helps people understand and actually find some more human-like characteristics in someone that they're envisioning as a god. It doesn't destroy his message of peace. It doesn't do any of that.
I just want the honesty. You know, I would respect politicians a lot more if they were just honest. But, you know, even, you know, getting on Twitter and seeing what the politicians are saying about different things, it's just not honest. They're, I think, intentionally deceiving people about what their intent is with whatever bill they might be trying to pass, or whatever organization they're supporting or talking negatively about. I just don't see the honesty there. And then when it comes to like the personal stuff, in some cases there is some honesty, but you know, with Cuomo, when he, you know, was accused of all of these different things, you know, he kind of sort of admitted that, you know, maybe his behavior wasn't very good, but then said, but it wasn't that bad. This is just the way I am. This is the way my personality is.
A piece of shit response.
Yeah. I mean,
face just looked like they got me on something. So I'm just going to I'm going to go down with this. That's what I saw. But his whole speech that he was saying, though, I couldn't even understand the words that was coming out of his mouth. I was just like, you're just the way he said, I was like, damn it, dude, you're a piece of shit. But when you see his face, when you look at these people's faces, like a lot of times, like there's broadcasters that are talking about certain things and they're obviously reading off a teleprompter. But sometimes it's like The View, for instance, View mid of their fucking session was like, two of you got COVID. That turned out to be a fucking hoax.
Mm-hmm.
That was a fucking lie. They were trying to do it to boost ratings and be like this whole huge thing. Oh, they got COVID. Got to go get the vaccine. It's like, well, a month ago, you all took it on fucking air. What are you fucking talking about? You actually just did it even worse. That just shows that now you have the vaccine and you just got COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. Dishonest, right? I just want people to be honest about stuff. It's just
views, bro. Not exactly. We're gonna get some views from me, Martin Luther King in it.
Yeah, right. No, I just want people to be honest. It just drives me crazy when people can get away with not being honest. And then, you know, like you were saying earlier, where someone might say something online and it'll get tons of hits, and then there's going to be a retraction, and then no one sees the retraction. No one cares about the retraction.
Unless it's Bill Cosby.
Well, Oh my gosh, there's another one. Yeah.
I mean, he went down and then he didn't say a single word and talk about any of this stuff. And then he gets out and then everyone's like, I knew he was innocent. And it's like, well, then how do you explain all the accounts? Let's say some of those were lies. But what about all of them, though? There's a shit ton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he admitted to doing some stuff, but was it in a deposition? Is that where the admission
was?
He got
out on like a technicality where he wasn't supposed to be tried in criminal court. It was supposed to go to civil. And then eventually they got more charges or more evidence. And they're like, we're going to take it to criminal. They already agreed that they weren't going to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess he was in prison for a while, but still to do that kind of stuff. Oh man, to drug girls and rape them. There's gotta be a punishment appropriate for people who do that.
Well, there's a thing now where if you even talk about the people go, well, it's just because of his race. And it's like, no, there's a different thing here. And that is the fact that you do something illegal. The fact that Fauci did something illegal, lying to Congress, saying, oh, well, it was just his scientific. It was a scientific theory. We have new science now. So, no, he's not going to be tried. Well, God damn it. You protected it like it was fact. You stood up in court like it was fact. You prayed on top of a Bible like it was fact. I'm starting to be curious with, like, are we just handpicking who we want to throw in if they just aren't part of our party or part of our fucking team? Because I feel like if you break the law, you break the law no matter who the fuck you are and what skin color you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've been a big fan of what Rand Paul has been doing with Fauci in front.
I'm not siding with him yet until I find out why his neighbor tackled him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Broke that lung. I got to figure out why first.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, I think, you know, people in positions like Fauci, where they're the head of, you know, a major organization who's obviously been lying and changing their stance on different things. And those stances result in policy. And he gets, you know, pulled out onto the floor and all of that stuff gets exposed. And then all the emails that were released and, you know, that's the kind of stuff. I think that's a good part of part of our government is when people really have an opportunity to come out and get some truth out in front of the public. But I mean, I don't know how many people really pay attention to that. And some people are just going to be completely turned off by Rand Paul just because he's Rand Paul. But if you listen to what he's saying, the questions that he's asking, the research that he and his team have done, and then they confront Fauci on it, I just think, man, that's the kind of stuff that our government is supposed to be doing. When the government's doing things to the population, there's got to be some accountability.
Reality show. Why the fuck it was is, that? Like, yeah. That was like everyone was glued to the TV. It was like my same issue with the George Floyd thing. It was like they fucking dragged it on for so goddamn long. Like, we got to get every view out of this. Like, I'm pretty sure everyone was watching ABC or whatever the fuck that was when that was happening. But during that trial, I'm watching it and I'm like, man, like, not talking about George Floyd, I'm talking about the Fauci trial or whatever the conversation, whatever they were having. And I'm looking at it just like, what the headline was, Fauci owns Rand Paul. And I'm like, did anybody else see the man's hand shaking like a kid that's about to be in a fight? Like, that's not out of frustration. That's out of fear. That's out of being scared and your body's being pumped with something. Then you find out he's lying and then people deny, like, there's no evidence that he lied. What headline are you reading? It's like, no, they've said it on TV. Your good old friend Saki said a good old thing about how he will not be tried. And I'm like, look, I'm not a fan of this. It's gatekeeping. That's gatekeeping at its finest, the blocking information from the public to know. I think if anything, if you're going to stand so solid that the information you have is correct, then you need to understand the consequences that come with that.
I just think that the rules are supposed to be the same for everyone. I don't care who you are, you know? And when Fauci comes out and lies in front of Congress, and it's pretty obvious, I mean, the stuff that he's saying about the Wuhan lab and gain of function research and how it's funded. Gosh, there's a lot of evidence that shows that there was some shenanigans going on and there's no punishment for that.
Wait,
I mean, come on. What are you talking about?
The lab? You're telling me the people that said it didn't come from there, the virologist, and then eventually when it found out it did, they, or when it's now more likely that it did, they deleted their Twitters and you can't find them anymore? You're telling me, and the 26 scientists that were funded by Pfizer and all these giant Chinese corporations that they were, that they all said it wasn't a thing? Then I see a documentary on all, dude, I'm so pro that lab thing, but everyone's like, no, it's not. I'm like, all right, maybe it's not, but I've talked to people who study those pangolins, whatever the hell they're called. They said that this is the worst thing ever, that people would blame this animal as causing the outbreak. When isn't the theory now that it possibly was going to be released in a cave somewhere and naturally spread that way? Like, that's the thought.
Maybe behind. I don't know. I haven't heard that one.
Well, that's the thought that, like, I had someone read it on air. I can read it on here because I always check on Google or DuckDuckGo. I'm like, hey, let's just type in these keywords and see if it's trending. Yeah.
Well, I would wonder about, you know, all of these ideas of where the virus came from, and, you know, and if there was some gene modifications to it to make it more, you know, contagious with among humans. And I don't know how much stuff is actually true. I'm fascinated by how the research is done to figure out, and then how the media kind of spins it and how that changes somewhat frequently. And then, of course, the censoring on Facebook, Twitter, you know, YouTube. I'm not even sure if it's all algorithm or if it's really, you know, humans interacting and making a decision on whether something is going to get flagged or banned.
I'm just so curious to why, like, people are so, like, against it. Like, didn't the app find out Fauci, the emails, he knew about everything, and then that all came out, and then nobody even gave a shit. Like, the people that said that's not true just didn't even admit that they were wrong, and he ended up lying again. And then the only thing about with the lab now, the only thing is that the Los Angeles Times says debunking of the COVID lab leak theory, and it's like they're the only one that's saying that. But then everything, The Hill, Mirror, Newsweek, The Intercept was the one that got the 500 documents that exposed that there was all this funding of this type of thing. The whole idea is that, oh, now they're talking about it was supposed to be released in a cave, and then it was supposed to naturally spread because they had mice with human tissue that they were injecting these things with. So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe that's not true. Who gives a fuck? I'm tired of this, like, you're a conspiracy or you're not a conspiracy or you're a sheep or you're a this. I'm like, fuck it, man. Everything is made up. The world doesn't matter. It's like, whose line is it anyway? Nobody gets any fucking points. I'm tired of playing the game. I just want to sit in my goddamn lounge chair on my back porch and just stare up at the sky and just watch clouds form. Is that okay?
Yeah. I mean, at what point do you start living a life and not caring so much about that stuff?
Never.
And,
never.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like you got to think about other hobbies that you got to pick up that don't allow you to be in front of a computer or a cell phone, or, you know, and maybe life becomes valuable to you again. I don't know. You know, I've kind of been, you know, following different things that interest me, but politics oftentimes eats at me. You know, it makes me angry. It makes me frustrated. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes I'll take a break from listening to new stuff or reading new stuff, and I'll start listening to, you know, a podcast, and that'll kind of take me away from some of those things. And I ultimately feel much better about my day, how I interact with people. And then there's always that person who says, oh, did you hear about the, and I was like, no, I didn't. And then I get sucked into it. And then, of course, then there's the emotional response. But I think there is still some value into being informed, but the balance of being informed and not terribly upset or emotional about that information, I think that's a hard thing for me to balance. And I've been doing this for, you know, quite a few years where I'm trying to figure that piece out. I think the podcast actually has been one of my, like, outlets, even though we do talk politics on there, and we do talk about some things that are, you know, kind of conspiracy stuff. There's always those interesting topics. And I'm like, you know what? I really enjoy the research, figuring out more about that particular topic. You know, the idea of learning a little bit more about Scientology. That was probably one of my favorite episodes that we've recorded. We ended up talking for, I think it was like almost 2 hours. And I was like, let's put this in two clips, you know, let's make it two shows out of it. And because I was so fascinated with it, when I left, and I haven't even done the edit yet, but when I left, I was like, I feel pretty good. You know, I'm not angry about stuff. I'm not angry about what's going on with Biden and his mandates, or, you know, him, you know, falling asleep painting while he's talking to, you know, one of his foreign leaders. You know, it's like, you know, I feel pretty good.
I've been painting like Biden's son.
Oh, there
I
you
haven't,
go.
I haven't been making $500,000 like that guy makes off his paintings.
I've seen some of your artwork. You posted on Twitter.
I'm trying.
It's a good outlet, right?
It's fucking great, man. Jesus. I'm trying to be off my phone as much as possible when it comes to, like, besides a post here and there, but like news, all that stuff. I've been out of politics for a couple of weeks. Like that Adam episode that you probably listened to, that might have just been posted recently or whatever when we record this, but it was like about it was redone again. Like that was probably more recent, but I had to, like, okay, Adam's coming on. I have to get into the politics again and open up my Twitter. And then first thing you see is always something about something, and it's so freeing not being attached to it. And this is why I tell people, like, you can't be invested into something like this, or you can't be invested into anything to where they're literally destroying your happiness by renting space in your head. And when I say things, as much as I might freak out or do these types of things, it's all obviously joking and having fun, but I'm not a scientist. I'm not any of these things, and I'm not invested into anything so much where if I'm wrong, I don't give a fuck. I'm not going to sit here and spread information. I'm going to tell you what I've seen. And this, you're entering what me and you are creating is right now. That's what this is. It's what an opinion is. That's what a conversation is. It's entering a new reality about what these people are talking about or whatever this types of thing is. But people just hear things and they think it's like, you think you're right. You think you're fact. I'm like, the fact that you are not open-minded and you're so confined to your position that everyone else is a fucking idiot, that's where you're wrong. You can't be invested in anything like that. I think the earth is not flat. It's not flat. It's never, ever, no, no, no. But when I hear someone talk about it, I go, God damn it, you got some fucking great points. I mean, there's a new conspiracy I've been talking about now is the Dark Ages never happened. They think,
oh, yeah? I've not heard this one.
So they don't think we're actually in 2021. They think we're in 1791 because the leader at the time, I've already said it before, so I don't want to look all the way back for the article again, but it was the leader at the time he was ruling in 729 AD, and he actually wanted to rule in the new millennium, which is how he's been recorded through history as ruling in the year 1000, but actually he ruled in the year 729. But he got with the Pope, and sadly everything the Pope says, there's a bunch of people back in the day that would listen to whatever the fuck you spread. So they created this fabricated story where I've asked archaeologists on my show about this, and they said, yeah, it's just, we don't have that information. It's unexplainable. So we don't know how to explain that part of the Dark Ages. And that part of the Dark Ages actually might be a made up story. King Arthur, a man with a sword and a magician, a dragon, all these types of stories that get brought out of the Dark Ages. That period just might have been made up just to add years on the clock. I mean, the fact that we're in 2021 is because we all agree this is 2021, but who's to say there's not people living somewhere else that are like, what do you mean it's 2021? Today is the seventh month of the sixth moon. You're like, what do you mean? It's like, well, this is how we counted. This is our calendar. All calendars don't add up the same. And the fact that there's a bunch of fabricated stories, not fact, not hidden, or not hidden history, or not written down like this, they're tales. They're not actual historical fact things. They're not recorded dates. They are tales. And it's kind of like Norse mythology, religion in that aspect. It's not recordings of history. They didn't fight a dragon. They didn't do any of that type of stuff. They think this person made it up to where we're actually in the year probably 1791, but they boosted the clock 300 years all because one guy wanted to rule in a different time period.
That is so interesting.
Charlemagne may be fake.
Is this on one of your other podcasts?
It's,
you record this on something?
I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah, please do. I'm fascinated by it. One of the things that I really, well, I mean, I like, you know, learning about cults and stuff, but I grew up as a Christian, and I'm an atheist now. And so for me, learning about religion of the past, even like, you know, biblical stuff, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, that stuff is very, very fascinating to me. And the legends of, you know, the Dark Ages, I think that there's a lot of that kind of stuff in the Bible as well. There's a lot of stories in there that there's not really any evidence that those things were actually true or happened. But we live in a society where there's a huge population of people who say that that is history. That is the way things were. And we are a result of those things. And I'm terribly fascinated by the idea that, you know what, maybe the reality that we think that we are in and what we think was history is maybe not that way. So you definitely have to send me that because I want to learn a little bit more about it.
Well, there's so much history where there's questions and stuff in religious texts as well, too. I mean, there's a story about a god, our guy was getting picked on for being bald. And the context of the words are different. I'm just going to have to fill those in. But it's a bunch of kids making fun of a guy because he's bald, or they use some type of old style language. So the guy prayed to God to help him out with these kids. And God sent down two bears that killed these kids.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that? What? And I've prayed so many times for superpowers I've never received. So I'm wondering, what the fuck is that? And you start to look at like every single test of God is this punishment in this way to suffer to see if you lose faith or not. But then when you look at like Satan, for instance, he's just a person that punishes bad people in hell. Is that a
maybe
bad person?
Depends on which version of Satan you're looking at, you know?
Is it all just because one person refused to do what his dad told him to do? Do we consider those bad people? Because that's how he got cast out of hell and lost his wings.
Don't you think that much of this sounds like a parent that's angry with their kids? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I really think that there's so much about just, you know, the Christian Bible that it just sounds like the people who put this thing together had the intent of making it a father figure and wrote about it in such a way that kind of relates to humans having, you know, a childhood, having parents and having some sort of rule over them. And it almost is like a lot of stuff would be made up to control what the children are supposed to be doing. Doesn't it seem like that's the whole thing?
Look, most people's bad dads or bad parents went to the store and never came back. But this guy sent his fucking kid to a place where people get pinned up against the wall, their dick splits open, and locusts fly out. That's fucking nuts, bro. And it's like, is it Abraham or whoever who was going to kill his son in the name of God, and at the last minute God intervened? It's like, don't do that.
Yeah, you don't have to. You don't have to do that.
Fucking crazy, man.
It is crazy.
I don't want to keep. I like poking at religion, but I don't know which one because it's all a heavy goddamn topic with people.
I don't know which one. That's really funny. That's kind of my line.
Is there anything in the religious text that you've seen that you question, like that you're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, everything. It's funny. In fact, right next to me here is a Bible because I've started to read a little bit more coming from if you are a sort of a believer, like a Christian believer, and you go back and you read the Bible and you can kind of, you know, you kind of wonder about some of the stories. But if you go back as a non-believer, as I am today, and you go back and read it, it tells a completely different story, Just even starting from the first page where they're talking about creation, you know, the creation myth, and there's actually two of them in there, and they contradict each other. They have things happening on different days in creation. And of course, what we know about science today would suggest that is not a good representation of creation. So there's all kinds of stuff in religious texts. And for me, going back and rereading, there's a lot of some like sketchy, I mean, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, are you familiar with that one? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. That's, you're going to have to just go back, you know, your listeners go back and find that story and read it through its entirety, because the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah getting, you know, burned down by God, and, you know, Lot and his wife and daughters leave. And then, you know, Lot's wife turns back around to look at the city, turns into a pillar of salt. And then Lot and his daughters go live in caves, and his daughters basically get him drunk and have sex with him and have children. That is such a weird thing to have exist in a religious text. And this is a story.
Cross yourself.
And this is a story that I grew up reading and learning about in our little Sabbath school. but they never included what happened after the city was destroyed and Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. They don't mention the whole raping dad thing. It's incredible. It's incredible that that story exists in a religious text, because that's not something I want my kids to read.
So bad now.
Yeah. Right. Right. Now the whole thing, I think folks who are believers don't really know their religious texts very well. And I think that if you are a believer, you should probably go in and read it, especially like Christianity, go back and read the Bible in its entirety from the beginning and try and look at it from, you know, an objective point of view, because you're going to learn some stuff in there that you were not taught as a kid if you grew up in the religion. It's not stuff I actually want my kids to read.
You're asking people to dig deeper in religion. We ask the main question, just dig deeper in the history that's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main point out of everything, is just the fact of digging deeper into things. You start to realize what you're believing necessarily might not make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It plays a purpose, though. Yeah. Religion plays a great purpose of believing in things, but everyone only sees like the little excerpts that always get mentioned in a TikTok or some type of trend that gets put on a motivational poster. What about the deep, dark secrets and the stories that are like, what the fuck? This guy is left sitting on top of a pile of burning ash that used to be his home while his family is now dead because God was just testing his faith and then sent ants to go infect his burning body. And then at the last minute, when he's about to give up, God goes, I didn't mean any of that, and gives him a whole new family and gives him all these types of things. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Number one, is that true? And number two, why would that even happen? You know, why would a God even put someone through that kind of stuff? It seems like something that a human would put someone through.
Faith.
Yeah, faith. That's always the answer, isn't it?
Faith. Just believe.
Mm-hmm. Just believe.
I think that's a motivational poster too. Just believe. John 3:16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Wear it on your shirt. Wear it on your hat.
Let everybody know you have a Jesus fish on the back of your car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of think I'd like to know as many true things as possible and as few false things as possible. That's kind of my, you know, and I'm willing to step in and do some work on it, you know, do some research, that sort of thing. But I think too many people, you know, what feels good is what they kind of go with. They don't really, you know, they don't really put in the effort to discover whether something is true that they've been told since they were a little kid. Life's... I know my grandma, boy, she told me some doozies growing up.
I'll say life's too short to live bad. Only want the good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should definitely enjoy your life. But if someone's lying to you to make it all feel better, boy, something's probably wrong there.
Yeah, don't get in a van with strangers either.
No, stay away from those white vans without the windows.
Can you believe that shit? The turnaround on that? Like, don't get into cars with strangers. Next thing you know, they have an app called Uber where there's just people getting into fucking cars with strangers.
Yeah. And now they're wearing masks
and you pay them.
You pay them. Mm-hmm. I know. What's this world coming to?
Remember when Uber first started, there was a bunch of murders that were happening.
Haven't they cleaned that up? Is that a thing anymore?
What, Uber?
No, the murders.
No, I think at this point it's just like, oh, there's people went missing. It's like, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. We got too many driving apps now to keep a hold of.
Yeah, and those taxi drivers are pissed.
I think everyone's going back to taxis. I like a nice yellow car. I don't like some Ford Focus approaching my fucking driveway.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm not really thrilled about Uber anymore. I've taken some taxis and in some different cities, and it really didn't have a great experience. I always cost so much money, and you know, it wasn't a great driving experience. Well, now it's like the same thing is happening with Uber drivers. They're not taxis. They're just Uber drivers, but it's the same type of driver. You know, my experience in Uber has not been great anymore.
I would just be like, did you get to your location alive? Yeah, 5-star me.
Yeah, right.
Fuck, I don't have mints in my back seat for you to fuck around with.
Yeah. I remember the day they used to give you a nice, you know, fresh bottled water, you know, a moist towelette. Maybe not, but
Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the downside of society. It just goes downhill from there to when you can't worry about your Uber having these fucking mints and towels fresh for you.
Yeah. Just to be like a luxury experience, you know.
I want to use Ron White's joke on a perfect metaphor for life. It's kind of like you've been waiting in line for a roller coaster for like 4 fucking hours to where your legs asleep, and then the ride finally shows up, and the fucking roller coaster ride thing comes up, the bars go up, and you see that this is rickety fucking piece of shit, holes in the seats, gum stuck all over the place, just rusty as hell. But you sit in it anyway, you fucking throw that rusty metal bar down and just say, fuck it, and throw your hands up and enjoy the loop-de-loop.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I use that metaphor for life when he used it for sex. So I'm just saying.
Oh, is that right? That's funny.
I had to insert a couple words.
That's right. Yeah, I haven't heard Ron White stuff in a long time. He's got some good stuff.
It's good, but if you watch like his special, it's on Netflix, the one that I saw, mm-hmm. and then I watched it like 3 years later, like recently, and you hear mm-hmm. people go, boo, and he goes, I know, I'm not saying that, I'm saying this, and I got to preface it with this. I'm
like, damn, no.
I didn't even notice that the first time I watched it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Now, I just remember his story about getting thrown out of a bar. It's pretty funny.
What story about
Ron White, he got thrown out of a bar, like literally thrown out of a bar, like off his feet, thrown out of a bar, and it's all part of his comedy bit. Yeah, let's go back and find it. It's on YouTube someplace.
I like a lot of his stuff, but I like, my favorite one's probably the one about the transvestite scene on Oahu.
No, I haven't seen that one,
bro. Dude, he spent what, I think it was like 18 months or was it 8 months or something like that, going down to the corner of Aloha or Oahu Street or something like that to get his blowjob twice, sometimes three times a day
from these girls
that were on this corner. And then 30 years later, he's watching a documentary about the 45 years of transvestite scene on Oahu Street. He goes, "That you tell me 150 dudes suck my dick?" He goes, "Let me tell you, a mouth is a mouth and a tooth is a fucking tooth." It's great.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Well, last time I was on YouTube, I was binge watching comedy stuff, and it ended up being the night before we heard that Norm Macdonald died. So I don't want to go back and binge too much, because maybe there's some sort of connection there. Maybe I'm bad luck. I spend too much time, you know, binge watching a comedian, and the next day they're gone.
Now, dude, you want to know what bad luck is? Is that I think it was a week before Norm Macdonald died, I mentioned his show and I said people need to go recommend it because he's a great comedian. Then during a podcast episode, way before, I said I was using it. You can look at this. It's all, you get to see the recording of my face, but I was talking about a TGI Fridays, how there's always goofy shit on the walls, like a hockey stick and all this type of shit. And then an autographed version. And I was going to say Regis, but I said Larry King. And then I stopped and you see me go like this, like ready for the guest to start talking, my buddy Chris. And he goes, "Rest in peace." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Larry King's dead." I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "No, he's fucking not." He goes, "Larry King died today." I'm like, "Are you fucking serious?" And that was a legit 100% honest reaction. I searched it up on my phone. It was 2 hours ago was that article when I read it. I was like,
wow. And then the timing, I tell you.
Then I think it was recently when the guy who directed the original Superman died. The episode I posted the day before, I said the one thing I would want would be the cape of the Superman's thing that Christopher Reeves wore when he was paralyzed. And the guy was like, he didn't wear it while he was paralyzed. I was like, once you put the super suit on, you never take it off. And then the next day, the fucking director of that dies. And then, dude, it's happened like five times at least in this show where I've said something, and the next day that fucking person either dies or is in jail.
Oh,
Ron Jeremy. I was trying to get him on my fucking show, and then like 2 days later, he's in court. I'm like, fuck.
boy, that would be an interesting guy to have a conversation with, huh? Boy.
I was going
to
get into the porn industry by 26 if this podcast didn't work out. Dead serious.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. Yeah, no, maybe it's just bad luck. I don't know. My buddy lives in Seattle, huge Seattle Seahawks fan. And he's on many occasions taken me, like paid for tickets and, you know, got me into the game. And every single time that I've gone to the game, they've lost. And one of them was a playoff game. And so I think I probably will never be able to go to a Seahawks game again, at least not on his dime.
Never. Unless you're bringing Buffalo dip.
Yeah. No, he's just not going to let me into the stadium, I don't think.
Well, look, Scott, man, we've been talking for a good bit. Is there a place where people can find you, man?
Yeah. NeverTooSerious.com. You can find our Never Too Serious podcast just about anywhere. You know, you listen to podcasts.
So. I listen to it on Apple.
Yeah. Well, there you go. They're good.
It's quicker than Spotify. For some reason, yeah. Spotify, like, I get more updates on Apple than I do Spotify. It takes like an hour or two.
Well, if you're listening to it on Apple, write a review. We don't have very many reviews.
I got you.
Yeah. Oh, nice. See, I love this kind of support.
I'm going to do it on the air real quick.
Oh, nice. Oh, even better. Get confirmation.
What should I say?
I don't know. It's the greatest podcast next to my own.
See, if you're listening to this show, all you have to do to your favorite podcast people, if you enjoy it, just leave a review. It's so simple. You give them a little rating. You type in a little thing. I'm going to leave a rating, but why? I want to write a review first, too. Comments. Well, they have, yeah, things that three reviews. Title it OOTB family, because you're technically part of the family. It's out of the blank podcast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I love it.
I'm going to say government. Totally awesome. Just kidding. I mean, they aren't half bad. Just kidding.
Just kidding.
They suck.
Yeah. Well, let's have a whole bunch of people repeat the same thing. That would make me happy.
On the Never Too Serious podcast, you can look it up on your Apple, your Spotify, your YouTube. Wow. Who's the Portland Patriot? Common sense discussions about today's topics. I think I have one bad review.
Come from me.
They were like, the guy sounds, is he just getting interesting people on his show? And I'm like, what? Like, I'm just talking to anybody that wants to talk. I'm lonely. He's not wrong though.
That's a good show. I appreciate you having me on the show again. It's always fun.
We're going to get you and then Dave on, and then we're going to have a Never Too Serious mashup with Out of the Blank podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
Not too serious, but also not too out of the blank. That was corny. Damn it.
No, I like it. I like the dad jokes.
Thanks. Cross yourself.